eclipses excite people that aren't really that into space. To me, eclipses don't really, they don't really put a tingling in my balls. I was standing outside with Neil Brennan because I did his podcast yesterday. He was in town. I did his pod. We're walking back from getting coffee and the eclipse starts while we're just standing near the street. And so we stopped to look up at the eclipse and then there's a group of people over here. One, like, I don't want to say he homeless, but he was definitely like a street guy. But you know, sometimes you see people that are homeless, but some people like have more. Relatively speaking, they're closer to homes than the other people. At least he seemed that way. He's because he had like a boom box and a chair. Anyway, we're watching the eclipse and out of the blue, this guy just goes, bunch of fucking outsiders clout chasing the eclipse. Fuck that bitch ass eclipse. How do you clout chase an astrological event? You know, lots of questions, but obviously, you know, when you're dealing with crazy people, you're not going to get answers. So your best bet is just to move on. Welcome back to BS with Brian Simpson. This is episode 90-some or 100-some. Hope to... We're back. Elephant in the room. Well, wait a minute. First of all, if you want to support the pod, you know how to do it. Like, share, subscribe, all of that. Please, please go check out the Netflix special. Run them numbers up still. We out of the top 10, but obviously that to stay there for 2-3 weeks would be crazy. But still, support that motherfucker. Stream that motherfucker. Tell somebody about it. All that. Or come see me on the road. Go to my socials, BS Comedian. Click on the link. You know, I'm going to be in this weekend. I'm going to be at Wise Guys in Utah. Still tickets available. That's April 12th and 13th. 26th, 27th, be in Tacoma, Washington. Then there's a Netflix is a Joke festival. Then there's, what the fuck is this? Oh, yeah. And then... Desert Ridge, so that's the Phoenix area. I'm gonna be there in May 17th, and then Vegas, June 14th and 15th, Denver, July 11th, 12th, and 13th, and the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan, which is right outside of Detroit, on July 26th and 27th. Yeah, we're kicking off the new tour, new hour. Come check me out. So. Elephant in the room, the eclipse. So if you, this week in Austin, specifically yesterday, there was an eclipse. And, you know, everyone made a big deal about it. I did see it. I mean, I was outside when it got dark for a little while. And I'll never forget, I was actually standing outside. I was standing outside with Neil Brennan. Because I did his podcast yesterday. He was in town. I did his pod. And we're walking back from getting coffee and the eclipse starts while we're just standing near the street. And so we stopped to look up at the eclipse and there's a group of people over here. One, like, I don't want to say he homeless, but he was definitely like a street guy. And by that, I mean, like, he lives on the street. So yeah, homeless. But he seemed like, I don't know how to explain it, but you know, sometimes you see people that are homeless, but some people like have more, like some people are homeless, but they not, relatively speaking, they're closer to homes than the other people. It's like he got, at least he seemed that way. He's cause he had like a boom box and a chair and all that shit. Anyway, we're watching the eclipse and out of the blue, this guy just goes, bunch of fucking outsiders clout chasing the eclipse. Fuck that bitch ass eclipse. And I was like, maybe he's reading my mind. Or how do you clout chase an astrological event? You know, lots of questions, but obviously, you know, when you're dealing with crazy people, you're not going to get answers. So your best bet is just to move on, which is what I did. To me, the eclipse was... Look, eclipses are cool. They usually happen over the ocean. So when they happen over land, when especially in the United States, it's rarer. But as far as astrological events go, to me, eclipses don't really put a tingling in my balls. Okay. because eclipses excite people that aren't really that into space. You know, and again, I'm not saying it's not exciting at all, but it's like, I'm not flying nowhere to see one. You know, I'll put it to you like that. Now, actual rare shit that's happening this year. There's a couple comets, I think. There's definitely a nova that's going to explode between now and the end of the year. That is actually rare, and that is actually a once-in-a-lifetime event. You will be able to see it with the naked eye, day or night. And it just doesn't happen that often. We just don't. That's just not for a nova to be close enough to Earth to not destroy us, and for us to actually see it explode, for it to be close enough to Earth for us to see it with the naked eye, is literally not going to happen again while you're alive. Now, that's something you can't miss, and it's also something you can look directly at. So that's another thing. So I was off eclipse when it was like, yeah, you can't look at them. I'm like, well, then I don't. Then what is the point of all this? So, you know, and I'm speaking a little from ignorance, but I don't know. Just on the astrological scale, eclipses are. An eclipse is right up there with like Mercury's in retrograde. It's like it's just an optical illusion. It's not like an event that's occurring. It's just because the Earth isn't actually. The moon isn't actually blocking out the sun, you know. It's just an optical illusion because of the angles and all that does it. So it's just, it looks like that, which is cool. It's still cool looking, but it ain't, you know, it's whatever. It's a shadow. But a fucking star exploding? I mean, come on. Come on. The star exploding, then you dig even further and you go, oh, yeah, that's right. And because it's X amount of light years away, that thing actually exploded 10,000 years ago. That shit exploded when the pyramids was built. Actually, I don't know if any of that math adds up. When were the pyramids built? Hey, Google. Never mind. Damn it. So that's another thing. Hey, can you block out Google? Because I realized I did Rogan the other day, and I said, hey, G Company, and I got a bunch of messages from people saying that I set off their speakers. So, you know, I don't want that happening for you, especially like if you in the car, because, you know, Android Auto and all that shit, it worked differently in all these different vehicles. And you say, hey, Google, over the speak. See, I just did it again. Okay, I'm going to stop doing that. Okay. We got an email. I'm going to start with the emails. Hey, hi, Brian. Congrats on the Netflix special you killed. If you have any tips, if you have any trips coming up to Atlanta, we'd love to have you as a guest on the show. Okay. Thank you. This is from Chris. Hey, Brian. First of all, congrats on a new special. Hilarious as always. And as a black weirdo making art, thanks for the inspiration. I know how much you value your time, so I'll keep this brief. I'm an audio engineer / musician based in Brooklyn. Considering Rob moved on from the show, are you looking to hire someone new? Given my location, being an in-studio presence is off the table, but I'd love to be an audio editor for the show. Yeah, you know, I'm getting a lot of these. Rob, they try to replace you, my nigga. Listen, man, as far as like job offers and stuff, there may be some offers in the future, but right now I'm pretty set. I'm learning right now how I'm going to run all of this, myself for a way that's easy for me. So I don't know if I have enough people to do what I ultimately want to do, but I have enough people to do what needs to be done right now, okay? And I will definitely put the word out when that changes. Yeah. But that's like the third, because I've skipped a lot of emails that's asking for a job, but there's a lot more than y'all think, you know, and especially when they start like, hey, Brian, Miss Rob, so about that job. That's so funny to me. Hey, bro, so here's another one. This is from Tony. Ah, our old buddy. Hey, bro, well done. Please let Rob know if he ever comes to New Zealand, get in touch. I'd love to hook him up with any outdoor stuff he'd like to do. You too, of course, if you ever come. Okay. Is that what the audio says? Let's see. He sent the audio recording.
Hey, Brian, just want to say congratulations on your special, mate. It was fucking awesome. Loved it. I'm not ashamed to say that even though you're the one that did all the hard work, I got a real buzz out of seeing you do so well. You've worked really hard and you're getting what you deserve. Sad to see that Rob's gone. He's always been an awesome guy, super friendly, super helpful. Hope you can find someone else to replace him that has the same kind of energy that you guys did. You sort of clicked real well, and I love the little backwards and forwards between you. Anyway, congratulations once again, mate. Fucking awesome.
Thank you. But look, and I suppose you mean by someone else to replace him. Nobody can replace Rob. No, Rob always has a special place in our heart. And you never know. You might see a Rob cameo. You might see a Rob, what do they call it when a famous person is, no, it is a cameo. Yeah. You might see a Rob pop in. You know, you never know. But as far as finding somebody to fill his role of the back and forth, that's going to be real tough. That's something you got to slow play. You know what I mean? Because it has to be a certain level of intellect, a certain level of aligned interests, but also a certain level of unaligned interests. You know, so Rob and I had the perfect amount of like common interests and agreeances and disagreeances and good communication with one another. And that was just a coincidence. Like looking purposefully for someone that I have that same kind of thing with is, I'll know it when I see it, but you know, you never know who it'll be, but I'm sure everybody will love them too, you know? But I'm not going to just hire somebody. You know what I mean? I have to meet the motherfucker and like really feel that, you know? Next one. Hello. Hello. My name is Notes Floats. And this is my song, Super Good, from the Lub Dup EP. From the Lub Dup EP. B.S., me and my son love your new special. Lots of laughs. Thanks. Okay, so wait a minute. So Notes Floats has a son? I like that. Notes Floats. All right, let's see.
I'm broke to get a jolting boat, plus some lightning butter. This is the result. So hot, make you want to get a haircut if you need one or not. More than a little off the top, a lot. Then it's overcast.
I like that. We're going to end the episode with that. I like that song. Super good. That's real old school, very Jurassic Park vibes. Good beat. I would have to hear it on my system to hear how good the production value is. I mean, I guess an MP3 format over email is not going to be what you have back there, but that was pretty good. I like that. I like that, Notes. Appreciate you. So yeah, that's all most of the emails. What else is happening in the world today? More and more political stuff. See, that's the other thing I do. That's the other thing I miss about Rob is like he would pay attention to the political stuff, so I didn't have to. Because I can't. I literally can't stand it. I hate what it does to people. I hate what it brings out to people. It makes everyone so emotional. I can't believe how hardcore people will get behind a politician. It blows my mind. Like you literally know these people don't care about you. You know that. You know it. You know these people don't give a fuck about you, but you defend them like they're your, like they don't got your back. I'm definitely not about to fight nobody behind Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Y'all are wild, you know, and I'm one of those people that truly don't give a fuck about neither person. Some people say that just so they can avoid conflict, but they really vehemently behind one or the other. I ain't about to get behind none of these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Because like I told you before, your only power you have is how you vote, how you spend your money, and what you pay attention to. You know what I'm saying? So you get up every morning, you pay attention to the one you hate or not. You know, when November comes, you vote or you don't. You know, you spend your money or you don't. You know, you either look, you either research the companies that you're giving your money to and make, you know, is there such thing as moral consumerism? I'd argue yes. Yes, there is, you know, but we all have to draw that line for ourselves. I mean, I don't know if it's possible to live in America, to be a consumer in America without ever giving any of your money to an immoral company or a company that's attached to immoral things, to things you wouldn't agree with, right? So all you're left to do is kind of, you know, avoid the more serious ones and ignore the ones that you know, or you're just going to starve. Like, is this cruelty-free bread? I don't know. I'm hungry. You know, do you give a fuck? Some you know, but I don't care what your own personal stuff is. But when you start telling other people how to live, I get suspicious about you. You start being like, everyone should. Nah, fuck out of here. Everyone shouldn't. Everyone should not. But we do. You know what's funny? We do have all these old articles from Rob that I didn't. Or that were in here from the last episode Rob was on. Man, it's like 100 of these. Oh, well, some of these we did already. Like this dude that attacked the judge, I think we did that. Okay, yeah, so the... I know we didn't do this one. Five sports added to the 2028 Summer Olympic Games. Okay. Gonna see archive. Okay, cool. All right. The International Committee announced on Monday has accepted a proposal to local organizations. What are the five sports, guys? Who is this? What site is this? KCLA. Hey, KCLA, this ain't a fucking college book report. Get to the point. The headline says five sports added to 2028 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, add 6, 7, 8. There's not a list. Come on, man. So now I got to. Okay. Where is the part where it tells me which sports? They just keep rambling. Who wrote this article? It just says by KCAL news staff. Yeah, no bullshit. I wouldn't want my name on this fucking garbage piece either. Yeah, it took the whole staff to write 10 paragraphs with no information. So World Baseball Softball Confederation. So baseball's coming to the Olympics. Softball's going to come to the Olympics. Man, fuck this. Fuck KCAL News. These guys are terrible. I don't think I've ever been so frustrated trying to read a news article. It's like, give me the summary. Give me the real quick. Give me the too long, didn't read. Is this y'all first time on the internet? It's almost like, did these people just get a website? Like, how do they not know how this works? Some of us are in for the long read. Some of us ain't got time. That's the internet. You got to talk to, and I learned this before the internet. You got to talk to the smartest people in the room and the dumbest people in the room. Especially the dumbest. You have to say a thing for the stupidest possible person, and then you can say it the complicated way. You know, and it's the same thing here. It's like you can do the long drawn, long winded version, like it's the only thing I'm gonna read today, or you can do the quick bullet point summary in case I got other shit to do. That's how everything on the internet should be structured. That's how the top websites on the internet are. You know, Twitter, Facebook, so, you know, what's the goddamn TikTok, these places. And it's like, you will get absolutely flamed for leaving a long ass rambling thing without a too long didn't read. Because what's going to happen is people ain't going to read it. In fact, most of your comments would be, I ain't reading all that. You know what I mean? So it's like, you'd be missing your point anyway. In fact, I say start with the too long didn't read. The TLDR is like, it's just a summary, you know, but whatever. AI. The Great Cache. Okay, I guess there's not that many articles in here. Now, I remember this. Boy, this was a long time ago. This article's in here from back then, back when Sean Combs and Cassie settle rape sex trafficking lawsuit. Yeah, he fucked up. He should have paid her. That's so funny. I just think when you've been that powerful for so long, you think you can get away with everything. You know, but he should have paid that bitch when she first asked. Because this is what I don't get. It's like it would be one thing if your ex was, or your ex-employee or ex-girlfriend, it'd be one thing if they were just bitter and trying to blackmail you. Or if, you know, there was some incident that they could present in such a way to make you look a certain way. And you were like, I ain't letting this bitch win. I'm a goddamn, you know, fuck that. But to know that you did all that shit, and to know that it's mad other people out there that will say the same, you know, but you know what? Maybe he didn't. Because this is the other thing. Sean Puffy Combs is walking around like he's perfectly fine. And here's the other thing. That he hasn't been charged with anything. So it's wild for federal agents to raid two of your homes and not charge you with a crime. He walking around free. They try to see like he fled the country. No, that motherfucker's in L.A. walking around like his life is regular. You know, so who the fuck knows how this is going to turn out? Again, another person that I barely care about. I don't know if Puff Daddy needs to. I don't know if he needs my help. You know, one way or the other. I don't know if his victims would need my help or his alleged victims would need my help. And as I'm scrolling through my Google shit. Okay, so this is a game I've been playing a lot recently, Dragon's Dogma 2. So RPG. Pretty good. I don't know if I talked about it last episode, but I will say you have NPCs that you have to have with you all the time, and they won't shut the fuck up. I stopped playing this game just because of that. It's like they're just constantly talking for no reason. It's just constant chatter that doesn't mean anything. Which is wild because they do sometimes say things that you need to hear them say. You know what I mean? So you can't turn it off. So you just got to listen to these motherfuckers dribble on about the weather and their last master and shit that don't mean nothing. And it's not enough variety. So you literally hear this. You hear them say this, have the same conversation hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And they always with you. You can't ever stop. It's like, I wish there was an option to make them shut the fuck up. Like, only say important stuff. I ain't trying to hear your motherfucker about your day. I ain't trying to get to know you. But again, I will find something to hate about almost anything. So don't take that as a, you know, I don't know if you would be affected the same way, but I'm easily irritated by stuff like that. Because it feels like that's a choice that somebody made. You know, like I try not to shit on people or companies for mistakes, but I'm a shit on you for your choices, you know, and you made a choice to be like, I'm gonna make these NPC, like, cause there's probably, I don't know, at my pace, I think I've already put, like this game, at the pace that I'm playing, this game will probably take 200-300 hours to finish. It was probably designed to have maybe 40 hours, 50 hours of gameplay, which means I'm probably not gonna finish. But it does mean that like someone decided that in a game that was gonna take dozens of hours to complete, that they would have NPCs that are in the whole game have, you know, five different things they can say that they would literally never stop saying over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I'm just like, hey, man, anything but this. This should be an option, for real. Especially in a game that is frustrating in a lot of other ways. You know, but whatever. You know what it is? It's almost like Elden Ring. It's like it's such a good game that people overlook some of those middle fingers from the developer. Same thing with Helldivers 2. I'm not playing that as much recently, even though there's a new update coming soon. But Helldivers 2 was cool. I still don't know if they're going to maintain it, because I don't know if I'm a fan of... I don't feel like the game is as fun as it was when it first came out. Because I think when it first came out, it was accidentally a little different than what they... Like, it's intended to be a frustrating and difficult game. And I think it was a little less than that. But that's where it was the most fun. I think Helldivers 2 was the most fun when it first came out, which is also when it was terribly glitchy. And they still haven't really fixed some of the glitches, but it's much, 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 much better than it was when it launched. But I think they want you to be frustrated with the... And I still don't know how I feel about the player kills. I don't like it. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a fan of getting killed by my teammates, you know, especially because you never know if it's on purpose. And if somebody having fun at my expense that's supposed to be on my team, it's frustrating. It's too frustrating for me. So I only play Helldivers with friends. I will not play with strangers, because strangers, like the community is hella toxic. You know, people will like kick you for not having, you know, for not picking what they picked and shit like that. Or they'll let you play out the whole mission. And some missions could be 40, 50 minutes and then kick you right at the end just for shits and giggles. You know, so I don't play with strangers. I'd rather play alone. I'd rather solo. And again, that's the other thing. The developers haven't done anything to protect you from that. You could literally play through a whole hour long mission and get kicked out at the very end and not get any of the rewards or anything. It's like, and there's no protection from that. So you just got to hope it doesn't happen. I'm like, nah, fuck that. So that game is, I've cut it off in frustration so many times. Another news note, Starlink is now available nationwide. I all of a sudden, out of the blue, like a week ago, I started getting Starlink ads every fucking where. So let's see the little deal. Am I technically doing a Starlink ad? No, because I'm not recommending it. I don't know shit about it. So for $250 a month, you get unlimited mobile data inland. Best for in-motion, high-speed applications across the globe. Okay, yeah, but it doesn't say what the speeds are. So for mobile region, best for RVers, campers, and travelers throughout a continent is $150 a month, also unlimited mobile data. For mobile global, best for international travelers, $200 a month. And for mobile priority 50 gigabyte, best for in-motion high speed. So wait a minute. So let's look at these plans. Let's see what they're talking about. So the standard, which is best for households, what? Unlimited high-speed, low-latency internet, $120 a month. Really? Oh, but the hardware is $600. Okay. Best for businesses and high-demand users, priority, is $2,500 for the hardware, plus $140, $250, and $500 a month for 40 gigs, 1 terabyte, and 2 terabytes, respectively. But what does that mean? Oh, for priority, 40 gigs, 1 terabyte, and 2 terabyte. But what does priority mean? Oh, unlimited standard data after priority allotment. Additional priority data available by the gigabyte. Okay, but See, I'm not a fan of that. Mobile priority. So all the way at the very end, the most expensive plan is $5,000 a month for mobile priority 5 terabyte. I mean, who needs that? Who needs 5 terabytes of data monthly? $1,000 a terabyte, and they don't even give you a discount for more terabytes. It's $1,000 for the 1 terabyte plan. So I don't know who this is for. I guess this is for people with yachts and shit like that. Like, if you need 5 terabytes, you live on your yacht. You know what I mean? The residential one is pretty much is a pretty awesomely priced. You know, $600 for the equipment plus $120 a month standard for unlimited data, but it's not high priority, whatever the fuck that means. But it's not. I don't think that applies to the home stuff. You know, so whatever. It's something worth looking into. Lord knows, I don't know what the fuck is going on with Google Fiber. Look, these motherfuckers, I'm moving this week. I've got another place. I have Google Fiber at the place I'm at. They offer it at the new place I'm moving to. And that's the end of any of this shit making sense. These motherfuckers told me that, I'm like, yes, I just want to transfer the service. And they're like, yeah, but the service you have is not compatible with the new address. I was like, yeah, but you offer Google Fiber over there. I was like, okay, well, then give me whatever's over there. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't transfer, you see? You can't transfer. You got to start a whole new email account, set it up with that, and then you can switch it back to this one. I'm like, so you don't have the ability to literally change my address and everything in the account I already have set up. I have to set up a whole new Google account to get Google Fiber at a new address. It's a shit show, because Google Fiber just got to Austin a couple years ago. But it's like they hire these outside contractors that do everything. You know what I mean? And it's a different nigga that run the fiber outside your house, and it's a different company from the people that install the shit in your house. You know, and it still ain't set up. I got the highest plan, highest everything, top equipment. It still ain't working. As of, you know, an hour ago. Let's check on it right now. The status of the Google Fiber. Let's see where we at. And it's still not connected. Yeah. Cause yeah, these people are, I'm not gonna use the R word. Yeah. But I will say, you know, I will say that, you know, my Google Fiber plan's $150 a month. I might switch to the Starlink, my nigga. I might do that. Because I'm over this. How long would it take for Starlink? It probably takes 17 months. Try Starlink for 30 days. I might fuck with them. We'll see. I guarantee it's not going to be awesome. There's no way it's good. You would think the number one tech company in the world would have better tech. You know? But I'm so disillusioned with Google right now. It's funny because Samsung is the only thing keeping people loyal to Google. Isn't that crazy? You know, Samsung is relatively excellent. You know, they got their own little issues, but Google just quits on shit, bro. They don't, it's almost like, I feel like Google doesn't put, they don't put 100% effort into anything. They're never 100% behind nothing. Like, Google operates like a company that's really 40 companies that kind of talk to each other sometimes. You know what I mean? Like the person working on the Gmail servers is a separate person from the person that's working on the AI that has to read the email. Like, you know what I mean? Or that's not even a good example, but just we've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast, but there's a long, giant fucking graveyard of things Google has quit on. So you can't really trust them. You know what I mean? I might not, like, it would not shock me at all if Google was like, we're done with fiber this year. We're just done. If you have fiber now, you'll have it till 2026 and then it's gone. You know what I'm saying? They did it with Stadia. They did it with Buzz. They did it with Inbox. You know, for whatever reason, they'll make two or three apps that all do the same thing, but slightly differently. You know what I mean? And it is like, I don't know. I don't understand why they keep operating this way. I mean, because they're making money still. You know, that's my biggest problem with every, that's my biggest problem with Hollywood. That's my biggest problem with every corporate job I've ever had is motherfuckers. You know, some people fail upwards. You know what I mean? Or when they're success, everyone gets credit. You know what I mean? It's almost like a group project. You know what I mean? It's like say you're in a group with 10 people and everybody else is busting their ass and you're the only one that does nothing. You do nothing. And then that project gets turned in and the teacher goes, this is the best group project that I've ever had submitted to me, and I'm going to do something special for the team. It's that. It's like the person that did nothing, they get credit. They get the A and they get to put it on their resume. You know what I mean? The shittiest person on like I put it like this. Like those two dudes that ruined Game of Thrones, they will never stop getting writing jobs in Hollywood. You understand what I'm saying? Because they wrote on Game of Thrones. They didn't write Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? George R. R. Martin did. And most of the dialogue. All they did was cut. They made decisions. I'm not saying they weren't a part of the show being a hit, but I just mean we saw what happened when another team took House of Dragons. If you're dealing with a genius writer, that's what George R. R. Martin is. Let's call a spade a spade. Because you can't write dialogue for like 10 different clever motherfuckers if you're not a super clever motherfucker. It's just that simple. Cersei, Tyrion, Jaime, all these people had very, you know, you got to be a pretty. George R. R. Martin's a genius, you know, in the literary world. No, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, making a show from one of his books, you know, it's like tracing the lines over a Picasso. It's like you're going to end up with a Picasso. It's not that difficult. And it's not going to be as good as the original. And it isn't, right? But it's not going to be as good as the book, but it's going to be pretty close. It doesn't mean you. So this is what I'm saying. Those two guys. So when they had to stop following his books, those last two and a half seasons of Game of Thrones, the quality in the writing was noticeable. It was a noticeable drop off. You know, and the ending was a complete flub. You know why? Because they didn't have it. They didn't have it already before him. Because he still hasn't finished the book. He hasn't finished the last book. You know. And that's why I don't get all the people that like reflexively defend the end of Game of Thrones as though you're saying fuck all the people that worked hard for a decade. No one's saying that, but it wasn't as good. You know what I mean? It just wasn't. It wasn't good, and it's gonna always bother me. It's gonna always bother me that they drop the ball because it almost feels like. When they first stopped having the books to copy from the storyline, they were still putting in their best effort, rubbing their two brain cells together. But towards the end, it seemed like they didn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Remember the coffee cup incident? There's a scene in the last season of Game of Thrones. There's a scene where you can see a Starbucks coffee cup. You know what I mean? And these people went 9 years without anything like that happening. And then the last two seasons, mistakes, mistakes, mistakes. Like shit like that. Like obviously there's been mistakes over the first, I mean, everyone makes mistakes, but I'm talking about shit like that. Cause like there's, if you've never been on a set, there's someone whose job it is, I forget what they call them. continuity officer or whatever. That's somebody whose job it is to make sure shit like that doesn't happen. Like, up, break, everybody got McDonald's. It's somebody whose job it is to make sure, like, if we shooting a show that's in ancient Egypt, that it ain't no fucking McDonald's cups that people can see. You understand what I'm saying? Or if we shooting a city scene that's supposed to be set in the 70s, you know, make sure it ain't nobody can see a Tesla on the bridge over there. It's somebody whose job it is. Or somebody whose job it is to make sure that like, your this little tuft of your hair that was right here when you filmed the first take is right there when you film all the rest. That's people whose job that is. You know what I mean? And you would think, you know, HBO, biggest show in the world, you would think that they would have one of the best people. Right? Because, I put it like this. I haven't seen a Starbucks cup in, Star Trek. You know what I mean? So my point is, it's just, they were already out the door. They didn't give a fuck. They'd already got the bag. And they weren't as talented as of writers. But they will make shows in Hollywood forever. And they're terrible. And I forget what the show was they went on to make after that. And I don't even know how to ask Google that. I'm going to do it without saying the catchphrase. Game of Thrones head writers. David Benioff and D.B. Wise. Okay, so they created Three Body Problem. That is a hit. But I haven't seen it. But I'm hearing good things, but I have not seen it. But again, Three Body Problem is a book already. Do you understand what I'm saying? This, and it's finished. So these guys are grifters, man. What other show did he make? Metal Lord? I don't know if that's a book. I don't know if that's already a book or not. And y'all know me. Y'all know where I fell off. God, they look like douchebags too. This is kind of crazy. But the biggest, I knew when they were done with the Game of Thrones, because this was the last episode, I think, that they made that was like a huge deal. And I think this is when they started to kind of lose people. You know, people still finished, but it was like, it was the, I forget the name of it, but it was something night, Long Night, something like that. But it was when they fought that battle at Winterfell, and it was dark. And most people were complaining they could barely see anything. You know, because these geniuses decided that they would do nighttime by just making everything impossible to see for the viewer. You know what I mean? And the response to the criticism was, you need to get your TVs calibrated or whatever. Hey, motherfucker, people ain't sitting there with $10,000 studio monitors like. And it just goes to show, like, these guys had an insane budget. This whole episode was about nighttime, and they didn't use because you know the best method? It's called day by night. You know how they found it is Jordan Peele has done it the best with with Nope. Day by night means like they use a camera and a filter and another thing, and they shoot night scenes during the daytime, and you have to do that for large areas because it's impossible to light them well at night. So it's much better to shoot it during the daytime and make it look like nighttime. And again, they do it the best in Nope. If you ever see Nope, every night scene in Nope was filmed during the day, and that's going to blow your fucking mind. Well, there's a little part where you catch it. There's a scene in Nope where Letitia Wright is dancing in the house, and you can see that it's daytime through the window. But it's supposed to be nighttime. So there was one little editing mistake in there. And I don't know if it was a mistake or Easter egg they left in there or whatever, but that was one little area that I caught. I don't know if other people caught it. Maybe other people did. But there was a time, because I love the movie. I've seen it a bunch of times. But my point is, there's a correct way to shoot at night, and it's during the day. And if I had to venture to guess, I think these idiots shot that scene at nighttime, outdoors. You know what I mean? If I had to venture a guess, I'd say they shot that motherfucker at nighttime. I ain't even gonna hold you. But maybe they had the unfortunate situation of like, because I don't know if the torches, like the fire, I don't know if that makes it impossible to shoot during the day. Because I don't know if you can turn down I don't know if you can tune the whole thing except the fire. You know, I'm not sure. I don't know, because I'm not, I don't do it for a living, so I don't know how the technology works. So maybe that might have complicated things, because I don't know if I've ever seen a day by night outdoor scene with torches in it. You know? Lord knows I didn't expect this to turn into a Game of Thrones writer's criticism thread. But if you think I'm full of shit, or you think I'm goddamn, well, wait, what else did I miss? Oh, yeah, women's basketball. So this is right before I get out of here. I barely watch it. And I'm not going to pretend like I'm into it now and jump on the bandwagon. Obviously, I'm aware of Caitlin Clark, you know, because she's amazing. The most exciting thing that has ever happened to women's basketball. And some people are confused about, okay, why is women's college basketball more exciting than women's professional basketball? It's weird that it would get that kind of attention all of a sudden. But I think they needed a Caitlin Clark. They needed a generational talent. Not that they haven't had women before. They had like Lisa Leslie and Cheryl Swoop and people whose names you know, right? But I think that they didn't make an effort to cover them in college like they're doing now. And so now people have people they feel invested in and they feel like they followed through their journey. I think that's part of it. Why is women's college basketball more exciting than men's college basketball? I think the main reason is that there's a better product on the floor because women tend to stay in college for their whole 4 years. Right, especially now that the NIL deals and shit out there, because they're gonna make more money, you know. And the WNBA career is not, you know, it's not illustrious enough to leave. Like, I don't think there's a single person in the WNBA that makes $1 million a season. I could be wrong about that, right? Let me see here. What's the highest salary in the WNBA? According to SpotTrack, Jackie Young of the Las Vegas Aces is the highest average salary in the WNBA for the 2024 season of $252,450 for a two-year, $504,900 contract. So I think this is, and I could be wrong about that, but I want to say, I think the highest paid player in the WNBA makes less than the minimum. Let me. What is the minimum salary in the NBA? So the minimum salary for the this is fucked. Great. The minimum salary for the NBA for the 2023-2024 season is $1,119,560 for the first year, and it increases with experience. For example, the minimum salary for the third year player is $2 million, and a sixth year player is $2.5 million. So, making it to the NBA, you getting $1 million. You know? And if you're stupid, you think that's what you made. The truth is, after taxes, you know, after taxes, insurance, and commissions, you probably, you know, off that million, you probably taking home $300,000, $400,000. That means your take home the lowest paid NBA player, the lowest possible pay you can pay an NBA player, after taxes, fees, and commissions, they're taking home more than the highest paid WNBA players gross. by 5 times. Actually, that's not true. I did that. That math was real off. But you understand what I'm saying. So like I said, and you can get a million, and you can get, you know, $1 million NIL deals, which is what pays college players now. So why would you leave college to go to the WNBA and make less money? It doesn't make any sense. You know, and but also, here's the other thing. The WNBA frustrated everyone because the players are they're too stubborn to want to lower the rim to bring the exciting part of the game that brings eyes to the game. Caitlin Clark is different because she's got that exciting Steph Curry range and bravado, and Steph Curry is that. He's that. He's new. It's not new anymore, but he brought that to the NBA. That range and that willingness to take those deep shots and make them with regularity, that was new for him to bring to the NBA. So my point is, Steph Curry with the deep three, with the regular planned deep three, added another exciting element to the game, which is also dunking, right? And Caitlin Clark is the only one in all of women's basketball that's at least a big enough star that has brought that same exciting part. So now it's so weird. It's weird because now Caitlin Clark is going into the WNBA. And so it's weird that now the WNBA will for sure have a part of an exciting element of the men's game that was missing, the newest one, but not the oldest one. You know, and it doesn't make any sense. They bitch and complain because guess what? Those salaries I read to you, do you know why they're so low? It's because the WNBA is not profitable. It doesn't make money. It's lost money every year since its inception. It is subsidized by the NBA. Right? So part of the player negotiations is a piece of the revenue has to go to the WNBA. So they split a piece of the men's revenue amongst the teams to pay the salaries. They ain't making a lot of money now. That might change when the WNBA comes and they get and you know, them Caitlin Clark games gonna make money. All they need is a rival. They need a Caitlin Clark rival, and Caitlin Clark's gonna bring women's basketball to the motherfucking front page. And if they get a bitch that can dunk, that's a wrap. The WNBA is gonna be better. It's just gonna be that simple, because everybody loves some good basketball, but y'all are missing something. And I think it's hard for them. I think I don't know what struggle the WNBA players went through in the past where they are so hard up on adjusting the rim so they can dunk. I don't know why they take so much offense to that idea. I guess I do understand. Like, it suggests that they're not as capable of the men, but you're not. You can't jump as high on average. And you're missing a key exciting part of the game, right? And that no one foresaw. Like, no one foresaw this because when they were making the ball smaller and the three-point line closer, that's why. And for whatever reason, they kept the rim at the same height. I think it should be the other way around. The ball should be the same size as the men, and the three-point line should be the same distance, and I'd rather have the hoop lower. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know. And I've lost sympathy, because that's the other thing is I think because the WNBA is going through the same thing that like Marvel's going through, right? With all of their pandering girl boss movies, right? And it's that they don't recognize. Because they think men are their enemy, and men are actually their only fans. We're their biggest fans. Men are the only people that watch. They're not the only people, but you understand what I'm saying. Women ain't going out to the WNBA like they went out to the Barbie movie. You understand what I'm saying? The overwhelming majority of their fans are men, and they think they can tell you what you should like. Right? Like the last Captain Marvel movie, I forget what the name of the Marvels, it was terrible. It was terrible. Because it's like they don't realize, like, your audience is young men. That's who watches superhero movies the majority of. Men, period. Right? But a certain demographic, you know, 20 to 40, 15 to 40, whatever it is, whatever the demographic. That's who your audience is. Your audience is young men. So you can't make a movie that panders to women at their expense and then guilt them into watching the movie. It's like, that's one thing you can't do. You can't make a movie shitting on people and then guilt them into watching it. You know? But actually, you know what? You probably could, though, if it was a good movie. But this movie was awful. Movie was terrible. And I think it's because, like, the way they write... I don't know how to explain it. But I think the way that feminists write women is not real. It's not realistic. You know what I mean? I think when you get like feminist writers in the writer's room, they think that the way to write women is only in a way where they're uplifted, right? I'm not against uplifting women, but I'm saying that doesn't make for a good story. When every woman in the story is a hero and a good person and on top of their shit, and you know, unless they're directly the villain, right? And that's what they try to do to Marvel. I think they made a woman the villain and the three stars, and it's all girl boss, girl power, you know, loosely defined powers. But my point is like, you know, women are diverse. There's all sorts and all types, you know, but you're trying to like pass the Bechdel test with every scene, and it's just not a good, it just doesn't make for good stories and good entertainment. You know what I mean? Because you're writing with an agenda. You're writing with a point you're trying to make before you're trying to make a good story, I think. Because that's all my problem with these movies is they're usually terrible because the writing's terrible, because the person that did the writing isn't a good writer, but they are a big feminist, so they be talking that shit. And I'm not against feminism. I just don't like certain people that, like, they find feminism and they make it their whole identity and they're bad at it. You know? To me, that shit's fake. To be like, I'm going to take this franchise and make it a... You understand what I'm saying? Because I put it to you like this. If I took all my Netflix money and financed the Ken movie, who's going to go see that movie? Who wants me to remake like a Barbie type movie, but from Ken's perspective, where Ken is the good guy and the hero and all of these? Who's gonna go see that? If anyone's gonna go see it, it's gonna be women. It's gonna be the people that saw the Barbie movie. That's the audience I'm going after. You know what I mean? And so when they ask me, like, who you think I'm going to see this movie? I'm going to be like, dumb bitches that don't like to see a man shine. That's who ain't going to go see the movie. You know what I mean? That's what they were doing. What was that lady's name that played Miss Marvel? I forget her name. She's a good actress before that. She's not a good superhero. I forget her name. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what they're doing. They keep... Because I don't have a problem with the gender swap, is what I'm saying. You feel me? But as long as the character is the same. Like, I don't give a fuck if the next Thanos is a she, if it's a she Thanos. But she Thanos got to be Thanos. You know what I mean? That's all it is. She Thanos got to be scary. She Thanos can't stop and do her hair in the middle of trying to conquer the universe. You know, just as a little wink, wink to the girls in the crowd. That's what I'm saying. Marvel is trying, and I know why. We all know why, because you know somewhere they've been infected up there at Disney somehow, and they think they can tell people how to feel. You know, which, and you just can't. You know, it's, you know what's weird? I feel like liberals act with feelings the way conservatives act with sex. It's like, you think you can control it. You think you can control everyone, how everyone does those things. And you can't. People gonna feel how the fuck they want to feel. And people gonna fuck who they want to fuck. People gonna find a way to fuck. And people gonna have abortions. That's the other thing that, you know, but man, this episode could go on for a long time if I go down that rabbit hole. All right, guys, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. Again, you know how to support the podcast. I fucks with you if you fucks with me. Don't forget to watch the special on Netflix. Come see me on the road. See you guys next week.